Greetings and welcome. This is Dan Stolt. I have as a guest today Eric Gold, where we're going to be discussing PowerShell scripting to deploy storage spaces. In our prior edition, we looked at evaluating the storage performance in preparation for storage spaces. Now we're going to actually look at deploying it and then doing some post-deployment performance testing as well. Welcome, Eric.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for the intro, and I'm going to dive right in. The script I'm going to be discussing today is called Provision Storage Configuration. It's a very, very simple script, and I think the best way to demonstrate what we're doing here is to just jump right in with a live demo. So previously, we already showed how to validate your storage hardware using the previous script to make sure it's compatible with spaces and will offer the performance you need for your configuration. So once you've validated the hardware, you can run the provision storage configuration script, which will be available on TechNet. So I just switched over to my monitor so you can see what I'm doing here. I will execute the provision storage configuration script. And the first thing the script will prompt me for is the number of storage nodes I will be using in my storage spaces. So in this case, I have 4 nodes that will be operating in storage spaces. So I'll enter 4 here. And at that point, the script will begin discovering the physical environment, which means that it is identifying all of the poolable SAS disks available to use for storage spaces. So you can see it's discovered that in my environment I have 4 nodes, because I already told it that, and there are 4 storage enclosures, and you can see them listed here. So the first 2 enclosures each have 59 disks with 11 SSDs each and 48 HDDs. You can see there's a third enclosure, which actually it has 12 SSDs and no HDDs. And finally, there's a fourth enclosure with 60 disks, 12 SSDs, and 48 HDDs. And at the bottom, we've printed out the aggregate storage available.
Well, so this is a lot of storage, a lot of disks, and it happened really, really fast. Is it always that fast? What is it kind of doing under the covers when it's doing that inventory? How's it going so fast? Any clues?
Basically, what's happening is all of this storage is already configured to be available to storage spaces via the shared SAS fabric. So what's happening is this node that I ran the script from has a direct SAS connection to each of these storage enclosures, and each of these enclosures has these 190 disks in them. So this machine can see has visibility to every disk, and that's how it's able to know what's there that quickly.
Sorry, so is that something you had to configure in advance with Windows Server, or is that something that Windows Server just automatically recognized them because they were plugged in?
Windows Server, I think, automatically recognizes them because they're plugged in.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. They have to be online as well. So there might be some extra steps to bring the disks online, but if the disks are already online, they just show up.
Okay, so if it's a hardware attached, it's a no brainer. If it's iSCSI or some software attached, then there's some stuff to do.
That's correct. Yeah. So depending on what storage you're using, there may be a few more steps, but in the most basic case, SAS disks in storage enclosures with a direct line of sight to the storage node, it'll detect them right away, and you can see all of the storage you have aggregated right here.
Awesome.
So at this point, before it discovers the entire physical environment, it also ran a few checks to make sure that my node will be able to be used in a storage spaces cluster. And these checks included making sure that data deduplication is installed, making sure that the failover clustering feature is installed, and also making sure that this node is not already part of a cluster, because if it was part of a cluster, it wouldn't be able to join a new cluster and participate in storage spaces.
Okay.
So you can see here, now I'm being asked for the percent of HDD capacity to be used for backups, and that's parity spaces. So I'm going to just choose 30% for now, because it's a demo. It doesn't really matter what I choose. But what will happen is, when I choose 30%, this means that that all the HDD capacity, 30% of it will be reserved for a storage pool to be configured using parity spaces. That way we can have some backup data instead of just a standard workload pool. And finally, I'm being asked to choose the physical. Yes.
If I could have just a second here. That's to help us in the event that we have a hardware failure at the disk level, right? So that parity is going to be able to rebuild that or use that?
That's correct. So storage spaces has two basic ways of guaranteeing your data is not lost in the event of disk failure. There is parity spaces and mirrored spaces. Parity spaces use mathematical algorithms to spread data across multiple disks and keep a smaller amount of resiliency data than just mirrored spaces. So by specifying 30% of my HDD capacity should be parity spaces, that means that 30% of the capacity will be using that, and 70% of the HDD capacity will be reserved for mirrored spaces, which just make copies of data and offer better performance than parity spaces. So after that, we can choose the physical disk redundancy. So I'm just going to choose one. And from there, the script will calculate the way it should lay out all the storage pools and what disk should go into which pool. So you can see, since I specified 30% of the capacity should be used for parity spaces, the first pool that it displays is the backup pool. And it shows that there's going to be 51 disks there. There will be 8 SSDs there, just so that way, if there is a failure, we can rebuild the data. Uh-huh. And then we can see the total capacity and what will get built. We also have a warning here because you can see that. So I'm actually running in a non-recommended configuration right now because I have this one storage enclosure, which only has 12 SSDs in it, rather than the 12 SSDs and the 48 hard disks that the other enclosures have. So the script is compensating for that by giving me a warning saying, you know, we're not going to be able to provision things exactly as we would like to, but we're going to do our best job.
Got it.
So after that, because storage spaces has a maximum of 80 disks per storage pool, the rest of the capacity is going to be used for workload pools, but storage spaces will figure out this script will figure out the way that the disk should be broken down to guarantee that we still get enclosure awareness and we still are able to maximize our storage capacity and performance with the remaining hardware. So you can see in the next two pools, they're both workload pools, which are going to be backed using mirrored storage spaces, and they each have over 60 disks in them, and they each have over 150 terabytes. The first one has 177, and the next one has 210. And
so another quick question there. So you have I get that you have the one backup pool, but why did it automatically create two workload pools? Because your number of disks is less than 180 combined, isn't it?
Yeah, so the reason I have to create two workload pools is because storage spaces today has a limit of 80 disks per pool limit of 80 in 2012 R2. So in order to make it easy to configure storage spaces, the script just decides I will put 64 disks in the first pool and 73 in the second pool, and that still satisfies the less than 80 requirement. Mm-hmm. And it uses up all of the remaining storage capacity. Yeah. And you can see that these workload pools have substantially more SSDs in them than the backup pool, which only had 8.
Yep.
So at this point, I'm given the option to accept this configuration or not. So I will accept it. And then at this point, the script will take about half an hour to run and finish producing the configuration that it's shown me right here. The reason it takes about half an hour is because in addition to creating all of the storage pools and virtual disks, we also need to format every physical disk here with a file system, which is going to take a little bit of time.
Sure.
So that's basically it. Once this script is finished running, you will have your virtual disks ready to go, and you'll be ready to add them to add them to clustered shared volumes, and you'll be ready to cluster your storage nodes together to continue with the storage spaces deployment. So.
Okay, is there some kind of a reporter or something that this generates letting you know, or if there's errors, how does it deal with those?
For this script, the errors will always be output to the command line, as you see here with the warning I got about my my configuration not being recommended. At the end of the script, I can bring up a window that shows the output when you're finished. Right here, you can see at the end, it'll basically just say, it gives you the final configuration we've built, and it gives us another warning saying that we might want to use more SSDs or HDDs in this configuration to change the backup split. And finally, it just tells us what it's built and that it's finished initializing file systems and that it's ready to go. And that now you are ready to begin adding your storage to, or clustering your nodes together and adding them to clustered shared volumes.
Okay, excellent. Now, you had mentioned, we could do some performance analysis on these disks once they're created. Is now a good time to jump into that?
I think so. So, the next script that I would like to finish up with is the test storage configuration performance script. This script is run in much the same way as the previous one, only instead of there's one additional requirement. Actually, let me back up and get ready to start this going more smoothly, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to minimize this window so it's not confusing us here. Yeah, test storage configuration. Okay. Alright, cool. I'm going to restart now. Okay. So, yeah, the last step in the process of getting storage spaces ready to go is testing your storage configuration. And we have a script that we call test storage configuration performance. And this script will essentially run disk speed on the storage configuration we have just configured using the provision storage configuration script. The one thing I'd like to emphasize here is that the performance benchmarks that the test config perf script will output are all disk speed workloads, and this means that if you are that it's just a benchmark and you're not going to see exactly the same performance you might get on your own workload. So basically, if you wanted to run a Hyper-V workload and you want to see 10,000 IOPS from each VM. Using disk speed and seeing 10,000 IOPS at that time is not the same as having Hyper-V actually running and seeing 10,000 IOPS from your storage pools on those VMs. So this is, again, just a benchmark tool to give you an idea of what your theoretical maximums could be, but you don't want to rely on this as your definitive, I know I'm going to get this.
But it is running it on the existing hardware. It's not, it's really on a number based on the disk that you have configured for that workload, right?
Yeah, that is correct. It will run on the pools that you just created using the previous script. So it's the same hardware, the same storage pools, same cluster shared volumes.
Got it.
Okay. So in order to run this script, there is one simple requirement. You need to make sure that disk speed, a program you can download via, I think, TechNet, is in the same location on each of the storage nodes in your setup. So in this case, I put disk speed in my C drive. So you can see if I do ls on C, I have disk speed right here. And I did that for each of the four storage nodes in my configuration. And what's going to happen is when we call the test configuration performance script, it's going to execute disk speed in a distributed manner to maximize the throughput across the entire system using every node's compute and storage capacity.
Okay, great. Now, I'll also provide a link in the post along with this video on itproguru.com so that the scripts as well as the disk speed or other tools that are needed are easily accessible via the blog post.
Great. That'll be very helpful, Dan. So I'm not going to actually run a live demo of this script here because it takes a very long time. In our tests on a 240 disk system, it took about 10 hours in order to get the final output of the script. And this is largely because one of the steps to testing performance is to defragment the entire each individual virtual disk. And that's a very costly process. So
sure.
To save us some time, I ran it last night and saved the output to this text file here. So I'll just walk through the output and explain what we're seeing and give us a sense of how we can understand our performance in the configuration I have here.
Wonderful.
So the first steps of the script are largely just some status messages. It's telling us what node that the cluster disks are being reassigned to a specific node in order to initialize the test files on them. The reason we need to initialize test files on each cluster disk is because each disk has multiple tiers in it. I have both an SSD tier and a hard disk tier on each of my virtual disks. And in order to thoroughly test performance, we need to place a unique test file on each disk such that disk speed can write data to each of the tiers on each disk.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we will do later is when we are calling disk speed, we will aggregate the performance across all of the runs to see what we get. So you can see here we are initializing files, and then at this point right here, we are moving the cluster disks across all of the nodes so that when we begin running disk speed, each node can write data to its own disk, and we can maximize the throughput by not being bottlenecked on a single cluster node.
So I have a question on this. So since you're doing an aggregate and basically an average, I would think that your performance, whenever you in real life, would actually be faster than what these performance are indicating. Is that true, or is the reverse true?
So what we're doing here is we're aggregating the throughput and the IOPS that we see from these tests here. So I believe that the test you see here should be a theoretical maximum. If you're able to get more throughput or more IOPS than what this script outputs, then that would probably indicate to me either we have a bug in the way we are running the scripts, or maybe disk speed is not quite as efficient at writing data to disks than whatever workload you were using.
Got it. So this is expected maximum.
Yeah, this is the expected maximum. You might see like a slight variation, but I wouldn't expect to see, you know, two times or more performance on your own workload than what this script is showing you.
Okay.
So you can see once we are done distributing all of the disks across all the nodes, we have to call defrag, and this will take a long time. Calling defrag will usually take around, I think in my experience, it was like 5 hours or more. So that's a very, very painful operation, but that is the only way you're able to get the theoretical maximums that you'll see in these runs.
Got it.
So after we're done getting set up to do the performance testing, we simply call disk speed, and you can see the sample output here. You can see that first we run it only on a single workload pool with only SSDs, and if you recall from my provision storage configuration, this configuration had, I believe the SSD tiers usually had about 15. Yes, you can see here I had 15 SSDs in that workload pool, and this workload pool had 16 SSDs. So we're talking about 15, 16 SSDs, depends on which pool was chosen. And you can see that the random read IOPS we're getting from those 15 SSDs is around 121,000, which, given the model of SSD we were using, that's right on the money for what we expect to see from this particular system. You can also see that the read latency, you also see the 75th percentile read latency is below a second. 95th percentile is getting a little bit too high there with a quarter of a second latency. Oh, sorry, that's milliseconds rather. Yeah, so it's actually decent. You can also see we are outputting the random write IOPS, which is around 50,000. And we have a mixed IOPS here, which is in between random write and random read, which makes sense. You see 67,000 IOPS. And you can also see our throughput with a sequential read throughput of 100 of 1,000 megabits per second. After that, we move down and you can look at the single workload pool for hard disks, and you can see that our random read IOPS are markedly slower, even though we had more physical disks in a single workload pool for HDDs relative to SSDs. HDDs are just so much slower that it's not gonna be able to catch up. And you can see
Sure.
here we have about 9,000 IOPS for random read, and around the same for random write. Finally, we will run the same tests again for all workload pools using all the SSDs. And actually, this is interesting. I'm not 100% sure why this particular run had less IOPS for random reads for all SSDs than a single workload pool. It might be that some other workload started up on my system at the time I was running the script, and maybe that did something weird. But that shouldn't normally be the case. Again, this script took, 10 hours to run, so I'm not 100% sure what happened during the time it was running. But you can also see that last night when I configured the when I made my configuration, I did not create any backup pools. This time I did create a backup pool, but if I had created one last night, you would see a similar set of output for the backup pools. And finally, the script will copy all of the disk speed data to a directory where the script was run from. And you can review that in more detail if you want in the future. But in general, I think that the output you see from the script right here is all going to be enough for most of your decision making if you need to figure out if the configuration you have will be able to support the throughput and IOPS that you need for your workload. So that's basically it.
Okay. Well, thank you for going through all. I with the scripts that are available on TechNet, I presume there's some kind of instructions to walk people through the steps, or is it really need this video to accompany it to walk through those?
I am also creating a deployment doc that describes how to run the scripts and some of the extra parameters you can use when running them. Each script has more parameters that I didn't discuss here, which could be interesting, especially the provision storage configuration script, which allows you one of the parameters there allows you to choose a subset of the disks you would like to use for your storage configuration. So if you wanted to use maybe some SATA disks in your storage array, or you wanted to use just another set of disks, you could choose that from those parameters.
Excellent. So whenever you get that script, or whenever you get that documentation, please let me know, and I will post a link to it from our video. So thank you very much for joining us today and educating us on these scripting. I'm sure it will come in handy for a lot of people as they deploy storage spaces in their organization. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Thanks, Dan.